Hi, welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Justine Toe. Now, these days it can often feel tough to be a Christian in the West. People might mock or deride you, or if you've had Simon or my experience of this, you might write an article and people write some nasty comments on it. But today, perhaps our program will introduce more perspective on what it means to suffer for your faith. Because the word on the street from secular think tanks, like the Washington DC-based Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, is that Christians face harassment and oppression in something like 139 nations. The International Society for Human Rights also says that 4 out of 5 acts of religious discrimination in the world today are directed against Christians. And yet there has been scant media attention on this issue, we just don't hear about it. Is this the greatest story never told of our time? We've got two guests on the program today, Barney Schwartz, formerly editor of Religion at The Age, and also Elizabeth Kendall, a religious liberty analyst and advocate at the Canberra-based centre Christian Faith and Freedom. Simon interviewed Barney down in Melbourne, and Elizabeth joins us by phone.
Barney, you reported that recently that 4 out of 5 cases of religious discrimination in the world today are against Christians. Whatever the figure is, it's quite significant, isn't it? There's serious persecution, violence, and oppression. There's some horrific stories that you recount, but you also say it's not just random attacks, but it's part of a global human rights challenge. And it might be worse for Christians now than any time in history.
I think it's as bad as it's ever been. The worst of the Roman Empire was it sort of global. Mostly in Roman times it was local persecutions. This time it's global. People have the idea that Christians do the oppressing, non-Christians that is, in the West. They look back at colonialism and they look back at the Crusades, and they're very, very surprised to hear that Christianity is far and away the most persecuted group. But it is. We're mostly dark and southern and poor. We're not the oppressors anymore, if ever we were.
You mentioned some of the places around the world where this sort of persecution happens. It's all over the place. But what are some of the worst places to be a Christian in the world today?
Some of them are the worst places to be anyone. For example, I'm thinking of Syria. There's the most appalling targeting of Christians in Syria, but there's also appalling treatment of Sunnis by Shias, and Shias by Sunnis, and Sunnis by Sunnis, and so on. Pakistan is a place where it's very, very risky. Saudi Arabia is obviously just impossible to be a Christian almost. Vietnam is a very bad place at the moment. China, depending on where, what sort of Christian and where you are and what the local regime is doing, China's a bit like the Roman Empire. There can be persecutions there that are not from Beijing, but are local. But almost anywhere where Christians are not the majority, they're under attack.
Prince Charles, in late 2013, actually identified Islamic extremism as a cause of much persecution of Christians in the Middle East. Is he right?
Oh, absolutely. We have seen an increase in radicalization throughout the last few decades of the 20th century, from 1979.
This is Elizabeth Kendall, who spent 15 years monitoring religious liberty around the world. She's also an adjunct research fellow in the Centre for the Study of Islam and Other Faiths at the Melbourne School of Theology.
See, a globalisation of Islamic jihad and of Sunni Islamic fundamentalism, as the Saudis have disseminated this fundamentalist Sunni Islam, which is profoundly intolerant of Christians.
Now, we're not used to hearing Islam spoken about in such terms in the mainstream media, but let's be clear that you're addressing Islamic extremism. And we must acknowledge that there is a great deal of difference between the average Muslim and the extremism that's going on around the world. But is it the case, Elizabeth, that Christians are persecuted for their faith, or are there other social political conditions at work?
I'd say largely because of their faith. Of course, it's always more complicated than that. It can be a little bit like an onion that you peel back. And there's always political reasons, you know, who they're allied with, who they're perceived to be allied with, who they've been allied with in centuries past even. Memories can be very long in the Middle East. But generally, when it comes to Islam, they're persecuted for their faith. They're persecuted for being Christians. They're persecuted for not being Muslims.
Barney Schwartz also acknowledged that the Middle East was a very difficult place for Christians today.
There's a very real chance that the birthplace of Christianity will have almost none within 20 years. In Iraq, they say they've gone from several million to possibly as low as 150,000. Many have fled, but countless thousands have been killed. Egypt, as you say, is extremely difficult. Christians are again an easy target for politicians. The army would foster that every time the militants got angry with the army, they'd give them the Christians as a target. Across the whole of North Africa, where you had the Arab Spring, it's been very wintry for Christians, also for women and other minorities.
Is there also an aspect where I guess Christianity is seen as a Western religion, and so it's like a double-edged sword? It's not only that they're persecuted for being Christian, but it's also because they're Western.
Well, partly. That's definitely the case. But Islam, of course, does have theological problems with Christianity. So it regards much of what Christianity believes as blasphemy. To say that Jesus is Lord is a blasphemy, according to Islam. And so that puts Christians in a very difficult position. Also, Christians are evangelistic. We have a missionary faith. And Islam does not allow apostasy. It does not allow Christians witness to other Muslims. So there are massive theological problems, quite apart from the political problems.
Barney also had this to say on the question of Christianity's links with the West.
I think that in the Muslim countries there is a resurgent militancy in which Christianity is seen as Western and oppressive and therefore to be targeted. And there's also a resurgent supremacy there. So the Christians tend to be poor and marginalised in those countries and are easy targets. And secondly, any time the West does something irritating, Muslims tend to think of Christians as like the Ummah, so where to attack one Muslim is to attack any Muslim. So they can't find an American Christian to attack, but they can find a local poor Pakistani Christian to attack, and they feel that they've done something good.
Is there an understandable sense of associating Christianity with Western colonialism and therefore a reasonable target?
It's certainly understandable, but it's not correct. And, of course, this is one of the big issues for Christians in those regions who, for example, Christian Palestinians don't identify with Israel and America as Western Christians often tend to. They naturally identify with the Palestinians and the Muslims among whom they live. So they have to distance themselves very, very firmly. Similarly, Christians in other parts of the Middle East have to be careful not to be seen to support Western agendas. But generally, it's quite genuine that they share the same agendas as those that they live with.
Why is it that we don't hear about this persecution? In the West, it's hardly ever reported in the Western media.
We are reluctant to believe that this is happening in a systematic way. We're guilty over colonialism. We still, by and large, identify Christianity with the West, although, as we've just said, by far the majority are not Western. And I think there's just a lack of understanding about how serious and widespread it is.
Is there a sense, too, that the secular media just tends to be uninterested in what's happening to the Christians because of that sort of perhaps residual resentment of Christianity that we see so strongly in the West today?
I'd hate to think that you were right, but I think you may have a point. In general, I think it's like so many things to do with Christianity. It's more a matter of ignorance than hostility. I think that most news editors really don't understand how bad the position is, how systematic the oppression is. If they did, I think that they would treat it more seriously, because we do take most stories of that sort quite seriously. Of course, there's the usual limits that apply to news. Is it close to us? Does it affect us directly? If it's brown people a long way away, I'm sorry to be cynical, but that is just the fact that it's less likely to make the media, and that's, in this case, usually what it is.
At the conference that you and I were at, it was mentioned that often journalists who might do really well in reporting certain aspects of life, they do pretty badly when it comes to religion. What's the antidote to that as a long-term religion writer?
It's apathy. That's the good thing. When I became a Christian in the early 80s, I encountered quite a lot of hostility from my colleagues, possibly because as a brand new convert I was more talkative than as tactful. But these days, there's very little hostility, just ignorance.
Simon, you've recently been at a conference that spoke about the persecution of Christians and its relationship with religious journalism.
Yes, I was at an international religion journalism symposium up in Brisbane. It was really interesting. It covered a whole lot of issues, as you can imagine, but one of them was this issue of lots of religious persecution going on in the world against Christians that isn't being reported. Paul Marshall from the States wrote a book called When Journalists Don't Get Religion. He was trying to look at why was it that this material isn't being reported, but also B, when it is, it's often inaccurate and inadequate. So there's a whole lot of discussion around why that's taking place.
And so in terms of what Barney talks about, you know, like a lot of, it's not necessarily hostility, it's just ignorance. Is that also the conclusion that Paul Marshall came to?
There was this idea that religion journalism is often thought of as either too difficult, maybe a little bit frightening, so there's people are wary of the consequences of reporting some things. But also it's this idea that people aren't aware that this could be a really interesting beat to be on, and so they tend to avoid it. And so when people do report on religion, it's often with deep inaccuracies or lacking of understanding of the people involved, which is a big problem. And so he identified this as one of the major stumbling blocks to this sort of material being reported in a way that's helpful and accurate.
It seems kind of strange considering we live in a decade after, you know, 9/11, where it was like religion was back on the agenda and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Most people in the world are religious. We're in a very secular place, and so
In the West.
So for a lot of people, in a lot of journos, they think that that's just not an interesting topic to be covered. Lots of the rest of the world, though, recognise the forces at play and the importance of religion in so many people's lives, and also the political climate of various countries around the world. You have to understand something about religion in order to understand that. And so it's a big concern that this is not given the attention that it should.
Now, Elizabeth, what about the Western Church? Has there been a silence there as well about the plight of persecuted Christians in the world?
I believe there has been too much silence about the plight of Christians in the non-Western world. And there are many reasons for this. This is something that probably pains me and stirs me even more than the persecution that I'm monitoring every day. The whole concept that Christians can willfully resist an engagement in this area. One of the main reasons why I think it happens is because it's a frightening concept. It's one that we would like to resist. We're often encouraged to have celebratory worship services where everyone's meant to leave the church service feeling upbeat and feeling real good and, you know, Jesus is going to make everything better. But the reality is we've been told to carry our cross. We've been warned that persecution will come. And, you know, we had these people who are being persecuted, Christians who are being persecuted, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have been called in the scriptures not to abandon those who are persecuted.
So you're really active in mobilising, I guess, Christians to care for their brothers and sisters in distress across the world. But why should people who don't have a faith, why should they be interested in fighting for religious liberty?
Well, religious liberty is like the tip of the iceberg. It's often referred to as the canary in the minefield. And, you know, people need to realise that once they've dealt with the Christians, they'll deal with you. There'll be something else. You know, it's often the Christians who are picked off first for their religious views, and then you often find, you know, journalists. You know, these things all are seriously intertwined with each other. So people don't realise that so many aspects of their life, in terms of their particularly freedom of speech, but also freedom of association, they will be also challenged if freedom of religion is undermined.
So it's a human rights issue as well, yeah.
Yes, it's just part of a whole human rights package. It really can't be separated.
Elizabeth Kendall will be leading a seminar on the persecuted church for the Rethinking a Public Faith conference in March. Register at www.rethinking.net.au. Next time on Life and Faith, we'll be discussing matters of faith as they relate to education. The government has announced a review of the national curriculum, and it started a bit of a bun fight. One of the appointed reviewers has said that more religion should be taught in schools, as well as more recognition of Australia's Judeo-Christian heritage. Our two guests are going to be Zosha Erickson of Generate Ministries and Greg Clark, CEO of the Bible Society. See you next time on Life and Faith.